At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What is up, bros, and welcome to the All Bros Podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, I think we're going to be playing a couple of games, a couple of rounds.
Hell yeah.
Sweet. And then after that, we'll be jumping into our headliner of the evening. Yeah.
Which the name will be...
our I had to second guess myself. I'm like, okay, it's headliner, not breakdown. So many years later, like I still second guess myself with that.
I mean, the breakdown part is accurate. It's main event.
That's what. My bad. Yeah, that's what it is. Anyway, so our headliner of the evening will be our breakdown of Tron Ares.
Hell yeah.
The biggest, I think it's the biggest box office blunder of the year.
That is spoilers.
Like, I think it lost more money than Snow White. I didn't think that was possible.
What a load of shit.
I would agree, because Tron Ares is, you know, actually watchable. It's more than watchable. Because literally the only good part about Snow White is the freaking scenes with the dwarves. That's it.
Oh, man. I still haven't seen that.
You don't really need to, man.
Good.
Didn't give it your attention. Didn't want to anyway. Good. Don't give it your attention. Anyway, what do you say we jump in, Caleb?
I say let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Max Performance Peptides.
Save 10% on your first order using the code ALLBROS.
It helps support the show and helps support our friends, so go give their site a look at maxperformancepeptides.com.
Or check them out at maxperformance4u on Instagram. Links to everything can be found in our bio.
All right, so like I said, we're going to be playing a couple rounds of our two favorite games. And I forgot the names of them. Caleb, can you remind me what those are?
Yeah, so we got Reel to Reel and Head to Head.
That's what they are. So let's play some games.
All right. Let's start off with Reel to Reel.
Let's go.
All right, who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay. So for those of you that don't know, we are first playing Reel to Reel. Reel to Reel is we are given an actor and a movie that they star in. And then the next person has to list someone else that was in that movie and then something that person was in. And we kind of keep going back and forth until we can't go anymore.
Yep.
So you are starting off with Samuel L. Jackson, Pulp Fiction.
Okay. John Travolta. Hairspray.
Bitch. Okay, who else?
Come on, man. That cast is stacked.
Okay. Okay. Amanda Bynes, was she in Hairspray?
Yeah, she was.
Yes. Okay, Amanda Bynes, She's the Man.
I knew you were going to say that one, goddamn it. Was Channing Tatum in She's the Man?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Thank you. All right, Channing Tatum, 21 Jump Street.
Okay. I'll throw you a curveball. Ice Cube, Are We There Yet?
Oh, you son of a bitch. Like, I swear that the mom's name is Nia Long, but I can't think of anything else she's in. Come on, there's got to be another freaking, like, big actor or actress that's in that movie. Shit, man, I think you got me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Freaking A.
That was good. Dude, I love the addition of the scores. I love this. This is awesome.
Yeah, I thought it'd be... Actually, let me see if this looks a little bit better. Oh, yeah, that looks way better. All right, let me bring it out a little bit more. A little bit more. Doing this shit on the spot. Okay, that's good enough.
Love it. Oh, that looks so good.
All right. All right, my turn. Keira Knightley, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. Okay, let's go. Orlando Bloom, Gran Turismo.
Okay. David Harbour, Thunderbolts.
Ooh. Gosh, who do I choose?
Seriously.
Let's go. Florence Pugh, Little Women.
Okay. Emma Watson. Beauty and the Beast.
Oh shit. Fuck. Okay, Emma Thompson. Oh shit, what's that? Late Night.
Wait.
It's that one that we broke this movie down.
Oh yeah, okay. Mindy Kaling, Inside Out. Can a voice work too?
Yeah, that works.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Oh shit. Oh no. Amy Poehler, Sisters.
Okay. Tina Fey, Mean Girls.
Bastard. Okay. Lindsay Lohan. Herbie Fully Loaded.
You suck, dude. I haven't watched that movie since I was a kid. Yeah, man, dude. You got me. I got nothing. I don't know anybody else in that movie besides her.
Yeah, I'll be real. I don't either. Like, I would have been absolutely screwed.
That was a good one. Nice.
Oh, shit. All right. Your turn. Okay, let's go. Michael B. Jordan, Creed.
Oh, duh. Sylvester Stallone, The Expendables.
Okay. Jason Statham, Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay. Dwayne Johnson. Red One.
Okay. J.K. Simmons, Whiplash.
Miles Teller, Get a Job.
Oh, shit. Is that Anna Kendrick?
Yep.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, Anna Kendrick. Perfect. If it wasn't Anna Kendrick, I would have been done.
Rebel Wilson, Cats.
Okay. James Corden, Peter Rabbit.
Daisy Ridley, Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
All right. Adam Driver, Lucky Logan.
I think it's Daniel Craig.
Yep.
Is that him? Okay. Okay. Daniel Craig. Oh God, what's that movie? Knives Out.
Oh, balls. let's go. Chris Evans, Lightyear.
Keke Palmer.
Uh-oh. What happened there?
I don't know. We're still good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, so Keke Palmer. Akilah and the Bee.
Bastard! Oh, that was the one I was hoping you didn't do.
Dude, I was going to do one of those days, but I didn't think that you'd see that. So I thought that this one would be easier for you.
Oh, God. I have his face. I don't have his name. Ah, shit. Am I given?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name?
Lawrence Fishburne.
God damn it. Damn. I was sitting there, I was like, it's fish something. Damn it. Oh God. I couldn't remember his name. That's what was getting me. I was just like, okay.
Because no matter what's on your plate or your mind this holiday season, the UPS store wants to help. With our pack and ship guarantee, we're helping gifts arrive safely to guarantee more.
They know me so well. Picture perfect gifts.
We're helping guarantee more smiles with our pack and ship guarantee. If we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Stop by your local The UPS store for holiday help shipping holiday gifts. Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Products, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details.
I was thinking through like all of Keke Palmer's shit, and I was like, all right, I think like, I'm like, if he chooses Get Out, I got Daniel Kaluuya locked. Like, and then I was like, oh, like if he chooses like Akilah and the Bee, I might be screwed. And then the panic set in and I completely his name.
Dude, shit. I've never seen Get Out, so I didn't even know she was in that.
No, not Get Out. Up? No. What was the Alien movie that she was in with Daniel Kaluuya? The Jordan Peele one.
Oh, oh, shit. Was it Nope?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. All right. So that's three rounds of reel to reel. Let's go over to head-to-head.
All right,
so head-to-head, for those of you that don't know, is a different game. We are given a category of movie, and we go back and forth trying to find movies that fulfill that category or that could be included in that category, and then we just kind of go back and forth. So, for example, movies where someone runs dramatically in the rain, like that could be a category. So we just have to think of movies where that happens. And then we just go back and forth until we can't anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'll start off with this. Movies that take place over the course of a single day. Groundhog Day.
Yeah. There you go. I'm pretty sure it's just one day. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
I'll give you that one. Oh, shit. Ooh, this is kind of a deeper cut. It's this movie with, forget his name. It's called Boss Level, but it's another like Groundhog's Day situation.
Okay. So if it starts the night of a certain day and then carries into another day, does that not count?
I think that can count. Like maybe a single day could be 24-hour period.
Okay. Halloween Kills.
Mm. 1917.
Ooh, good one. United 93.
Okay. Let's go Live, Die, Repeat.
Okay. That's Edge of Tomorrow, right? And then
yeah, Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay. Shit. Fuck, man. I think you've got me.
Really?
Yeah, I can't think of any others.
Dude, there's a lot of movies that only take place over a single day.
I can't believe I can't think of any of them right now. Shit, man, dude, I'm drawing a blank. I got nothing. Yeah, man. I got nothing.
All right. I'll take it.
what was going to be your next one? I'm curious.
So my next one was going to be Better Watch Out.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and then I was just going to go kind of go down like that rabbit hole, like other horror movies that take place over like one. I was going to go Hocus Pocus.
Ooh.
Does
Krampus take place over one day?
I want to say yes.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, well. Because like I think it's like the day that their family comes into town.
That's what I thought. And then, yeah, just like it weaves its way into like the early morning hours of the next day.
Yeah. So technically a 24-hour period.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Your category is movies where a phone call changes everything. That's so specific.
Yeah, seriously. Fuck, why am I drawing a blank?
Yeah, feel free to veto if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to veto because I can literally only think of one movie.
It's one more than I had. Movies featuring an iconic villain laugh.
Okay. Excuse me. Did he start laughing in the first one? Child's Play.
Not the one I thought you were going to kick it off with. The Dark Knight.
Spider-Man.
Ooh, that's a good one. The Batman. I'm just going to go through all the freaking...
Joker.
And just for those of you that know, the only rule we have with this is we don't do like franchises, like or franchise movies. So like I'm able to get away with like doing like the Christopher Nolan Batman and then Tim Burton Batman. Like those are separate from each other. Gosh, this is going to be cheap. Batman the Killing Joke.
Okay. It Chapter One.
Ooh. Gosh, you're getting creative with yours. I'm just doing different variations of Joker. an iconic laugh. You already took Chucky. I might be tapped. I can't think of any. Did you have another one locked or?
Yeah, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, that would have been good. Shit. All right, next up, one more, maybe two, depending on how this round goes.
Sounds good to me.
Movies with a color in the title.
Okay. Think you can do it?
Probably.
Yeah, I think I can. Think I can make that happen.
Okay. Turning Red.
Yeah. Harold and the Purple Crayon. I'm sorry, crayon.
Ooh. Black Panther.
Ooh, that's a good one. The Black Phone?
Ooh, okay. Oh, you brought this one up earlier. Red One.
Oh. Nice. Oh, come on. There's got to be one other.
I got a couple.
Shit, man. You're good. I swear there's a movie called Red Notice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Dwayne and Ryan Reynolds.
That's what it is. Thank you.
Okay. Red Dawn.
There's a lot of movies with red in the title.
Yep.
The Black Cauldron.
Ooh. The Green Mile.
Come on. Shit, man. I think I'm tapped out.
Are you?
Yeah, dude, I can't think of any.
There's one I was like super afraid you were going to take, because if you took it, then I'm screwed.
Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Sorry. Snow White.
Ooh, okay. Black Adam.
Son of a bitch. How am I not thinking of these superhero movies?
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was just, because you already brought up Dwayne Johnson a couple times. So I was just like, oh, shit. Like, if he brings up. But legit, if you come up with one more, you win.
All right. Like, I have one in mind, but I can't remember if this was an actual movie. Deep Blue Sea.
Bastard.
That is?
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's one with what's his face from Fast and Furious? Oh God. I think I'm tapped. I was thinking that entire time, like while you were, I got nothing.
No, okay. I couldn't remember if that was an actual movie, but okay. Good to know it is.
All right. Tiebreaker.
All right, let's go.
Movies where someone quits their job in a dramatic way.
Can you think of any?
No.
Neither can I.
Like, that's something I see more in TV shows.
Fair.
So we can veto that if you can't think of anything.
Yeah, I got nothing.
The only one I can think of is one with James McAvoy where he like smacks Chris Pratt across the face with a keyboard. But I don't even know what movie that is.
Oh.
Like it's the movie where it's Angelina Jolie where they can like curve the bullets.
Oh, Wanted.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten that. All right, how about this? Movies that revolve around a secret identity.
Why am I drawing a blank on this shit?
Yeah, are you kidding me? This is
wait, easy. No, yeah, no, okay, I think I can do that. Who's starting?
You are.
Okay. The Dark Knight. Does that count?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think this is more just not revolves around a secret identity. It's just ones that involve it.
Okay.
So Spider-Man.
Superman.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
I don't think he really hides it that much. Batman v Superman?
Technically speaking. Shazam.
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh my God. Iron Man? Does that count? If it's a gray area, I can come up with another.
I'm gonna say that's a gray area.
Okay, deal. Oh my God. why am I just drawing a blank so hard here? Okay. I'm going to say, TMNT.
Okay. Here's a gray area for you. And it's this specific movie, Spy Kids 3D.
Wait, who's hiding their identity on that one?
Technically Junie, because everyone thinks he's the guy.
Ooh.
So like I said, there's a gray area. Because I think at some point he does think he is the guy.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'd give you that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, I got a really good one.
I think I did too. I hope this counts. The Mask.
I'll give you that. I was gonna go Ready Player One.
All right, Ready Player One. What you said. That's a good one too. Shit. Big Mama's House.
Damn. Okay. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Ooh. Good one. White chicks.
Bastard. Oh, shit. You might have me. I can't think of another one. Because MCU stopped caring about identities a while ago.
True that.
Like no one else really cares. I already took Batman. Ah, damn, I think I might be tapped.
Shit, okay.
So you're taking it this week, Rose.
All right. Woo! Let's go.
Damn, that was good.
Yeah, no. Those are some good rounds.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, what do you say we jump into our headliner?
I say, let's do it.
All right, so like we said, the headliner of this episode is going to be our breakdown of Tron Ares. Caleb, do you want to let people know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we've split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal score at the very end. All of these numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So if you have not seen Tron Ares, I don't think it's in, is it still in theaters?
No, but it is on digital.
Okay. Yeah. So you can watch it on digital now. I don't believe it's in theaters anymore. But if you have not seen it, spoiler alert, Rose is about to spoil the entire movie for you in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
All right. In 2025, NCOM and Dillinger Systems are in a race to bring digital constructs into reality. Dillinger Systems is led by Julian Dillinger, former NCOM executive Ed Dillinger's grandson, and NCOM is led by Eve Kim. Eve and her partner, Seth Floors, visit a remote station near Skagwa, Alaska. I put way too much emphasis on that A. Alaska, set up by Kevin Flynn decades ago, believing his computers hold the permanent code to break the 29-minute barrier holding back the constructs. After finding the code, they transfer a digital orange tree into the real world where it lasts indefinitely, even failing to freeze in the frigid weather. Meanwhile, Julian introduces Ares, a master control program, an MCP, to shareholders, calling him the perfect expendable soldier. Ares shows self-awareness, noting Julian's indifference to his survival and interest in real-world phenomena. After Ares dematerializes, Julian's mother, Elizabeth, expresses concern about the limited lifespan. Julian disregards this and later uses Ares to attack NCOM's grid for the permanence code. A security fight ensues as Ares downloads Eve's personal data. During their escape, Ares, against his programming, tries saving an injured program, but Julian pulls him out and disables NCOM's grid. After being returned to the outside world, Ares is able to track Eve's private jet after it leaves Skagway. Eve and Seth return to NCOM with the permanence code. Their colleague, AJ Singh, reports Julian's cyber attack, forcing Eve to flee while Julian and Ares track her, with Ares and his second-in-command, Athena, chasing Eve on light cycles. Eve hits Athena and hijacks her light cycle, but Ares corners her in a nearby port where Eve destroys the drive containing the code. As Ares approaches the end of his 29-minute lifespan, he recognizes Eve's empathy towards his plight. As Ares and Athena dissolve, get derezzed, Julian digitizes Eve into the Dillinger grid. Julian becomes more determined to retrieve the code. Ares reveals it can be obtained using Eve's identity disk, but will kill her as a result. Julian accepts this risk. However, Ares then lies to Athena, claiming that Julian is indisposed and attempts to bargain with Eve, asking to achieve permanence in exchange for Eve's freedom. Suspicious of Ares' behavior, Athena contacts Julian and returns with orders to de-res Ares. Ares and Eve are able to evade their pursuers and return to Dillinger headquarters. En route to NCOM headquarters, Eve and Ares reflect on their motivations, with Ares determining that Eve pursued the permanence code out of a sense of inferiority to her sister, who worked on humanitarian projects. Ares continues to show signs of individuality, showing a fondness for Depeche Mode's song Just Can't Get Enough. Eve realizes a copy of the code might be stored in a museum display at NCOM of Kevin Flynn's original office. They reunite with Seth to digitize and upload Ares onto Flynn's original grid. Athena destroys the particle laser to trap Ares and then pursues Eve. The sprinkler system activates and Athena shows a moment of self-awareness before dematerializing. AJ and his assistant Aaron arrive, and Seth and Eve explain their plan to use Athena's own particular particle laser so they can free Ares and thwart Julian. Elizabeth retakes the CEO position, and she tries turning off the particle laser, but Athena rematerializes and fatally stabs her, having interpreted her as an obstacle in the directive given by Julian to obtain the code by any means. On Flynn's grid, Ares encounters an aspect of Flynn, and they discuss Ares' desire for permanence. Intrigued by Ares' wish to live permanently and his eternal awareness, Flynn grants Ares the permanence code and sends him to Flynn's arcade via a back door where he rematerializes. Athena pilots a recognizer into the city to find Eve and eventually captures her while the NCOM staff breach the Dillinger grid. After Athena captures Eve and prepares to return to Dillinger, Ares intercepts them, engaging Athena and her allies. AJ, Seth, and Aaron penetrate and shut down the Dillinger mainframe, preventing any of the Dillinger programs bearing Ares from rematerializing. A wounded Athena permanently dematerializes in Ares' arms. The authorities raid the Dillinger headquarters, but Julian uses the laser to digitize himself. Eve and Ares go their separate ways, with NCOM using the permanence code to benefit the world. Ares later sends Eve a postcard about his life outside the grid and plans to find Flynn's son Sam and his companion Cora. Eve reconstructs the Skagway facility on top of NCOM Tower, including the orange tree. Meanwhile, Julian explores the damaged Dillinger grid and is transformed by an identity disk that belonged to his grandfather's program, Sark. There we go.
Hell yeah. Oh, man. Dude, just coming right out of the gate with this, there's no reason that this movie didn't perform as good as it should have.
I can give you a huge reason why.
Yeah, Jared Leto.
That, and also, like, Tron Legacy did well enough, but, like, it wasn't, like, anything outrageously profitable. And that's kind of what sucks about the Tron franchise. Like, it's so cool to look at, and I think for the most part, like, the story is definitely there, and the characters as well. But just for some reason, it just can't attract a lot of people.
That's crazy. Because it's like I saw so many freaking videos going around about how good Tron Legacy is, and how, like, interesting it is, and just the Tron franchise, like, this... Like you said, the story is there. And this, I think, added a whole new level to it. And it's like an easy to understand, like, concept, which was nice. And so it was able, like, yes, it was a fairly simplistic story, but it had, like, complicated elements to it that were intriguing. Intriguing. Like, especially in our time, like, in our time of, like, of how significant AI is, like, the idea of being able to bring in a a plant or something, like a digital construct into the real world, and have it be something that like we can interact with and like even consume is crazy. Like it's such a cool concept. I thought the execution was perfect. The representation of different like computer elements was really like fascinating. The thing that I liked was the representation of machine learning.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
With how Ares came to be, like him being like a combat program. Like he was an AI meant to learn how to fight. And it was so cool to look at. Like all of his combat was sick. And like all of the elements of Tron are awesome.
Most definitely.
And then like, yeah, the story was here. Like it's crazy to think that like a lot of people chose not to see this because of freaking Jared Leto. And like, don't get me wrong, the dude's weird. But
yeah,
when he wants to give you like a good performance, he can give you a damn good performance.
It's true. And I mean, he stated that he's a huge Tron fan, and I feel for the performance he gives here, and clearly like how knowledgeable, even despite how knowledgeable his character is, like I feel you could even tell how knowledgeable Jared Leto is about this franchise and just Tron. It's honestly insane. And it's, you know, I love when an actor can join a franchise that they love so much, that they know so much about, and they can add something new to the franchise. I know a lot of people, because a lot of people hate Jared Leto, they really wish that because of how bad the box office was for this movie, they wish that Disney would have just written off Jared Leto, written him a nice check, and brought someone in new besides him to be the star. Which I'm glad they didn't, because one, his performance here is solid, and I feel just for how big of a fan he is of this franchise, it brought something to it.
Yeah. Like it's, I don't know. Like I think people give Jared Leto too hard of a time sometimes. Like, is the dude a weirdo? Like, yeah. Like, has he ruined some like fairly good, like I'm not ruined. Like his role in like the Suicide Squad, too much. Like, yeah. Even hearing the stuff that was happening behind the scenes, like it too much, guy. Like, are Seriously. You serious? Like, it's not that freaking deep. Like, chill.
You didn't see Joaquin Phoenix doing anything like that on either Joker or Joker Folie à Deux set.
Yeah. And then like the other one that people give him shit for, Morbius, or is it Morbius?
Yeah.
Or yeah.
AKA Morbin time.
Yeah. Like his role in Morbius, like it's, he was not the problem with that movie.
The whole movie is the problem.
Yeah. Like he was just like, I think he's perfect for that role, for like the character and how that character looks. Like I thought he was a spot on fit, and it's just the movie was weird.
Yeah. What, who's the actor that played the villain in that?
Oh, Matt Smith.
Yeah. Like you could tell he was having a good time. So yeah, I appreciated that.
Honestly, he was a good villain.
Yeah.
He was a really good villain. And like they had the elements. It's just, I think they just wrote it funky. And like it's hard to have a movie about a Spider-Man villain without including Spider-Man.
Dude, that was Sony and their decision to do that. Because like I'm gonna ignore the Venom movies, because like those were actually like pretty decent. I know they're included in this.
Yeah, but Venom's an interesting character on his own.
That's true. yeah, the person that decided, oh yeah, let's do a Madam Web movie, a Morbius movie, a Krang movie, and not mention Spider-Man or, yeah, because no, I don't think they even mentioned Spider-Man. And of course, they don't include him.
Nope.
Like, who the hell at Sony thought that was a good idea? Like, come on.
Yeah. Freaking ridiculous. It's insane to do. The only Sony movie that I haven't seen yet is Kraven.
Hey, same here.
And I kind of really want to. Just because I hear it is like freaking nuts.
Was it ever put on Netflix?
It was, but you had to have like the special subscription for it. It was so dumb.
Wait, like the $24.99 one?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, it's on Netflix right now, but you have to have a special subscription for it.
Well, that's freaking dumb.
Yeah.
So I have to pay the top tier price to watch.
Yeah, you have to have the ads-free plan
to watch. Oh, okay, so you have to have one. So, because I think there's three plans with Netflix. There's the big like 4K get everything $24.99 one, and then like this 18 one that gets you like that, but like a step down, but with no ads. And then there's the ad one.
Yeah, let me see what you have to subscribe to or not. Yeah, so it's you have to have an ad-free plan.
That's so dumb.
So it's so you have to have the standard plan, standard or premium.
That is ridiculous that you're still paying money and you don't have access to everything on a streaming
service. Yeah, well, it's restricted due to licensing.
Oh, freaking Sony.
Yeah, so the licensing restrictions keep it from being like totally free.
Sony, you suck.
Yeah.
I know you give us Ghostbusters, but you still suck.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, Jared Leto is not the problem with Morbius.
No, I would agree.
It was the way that Sony was dealing with that with Spider-Man. Like, you could have included Spider-Man very easily without bringing in like Tom Holland and everything. Like, you could have just had a Spider-Man.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like, that's the part that gets me. It's like, we weren't asking for a lot. Like, it's just a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have to touch Tom Holland. Like, just include a Spider-Man. Doesn't matter who. I'm pretty sure Garfield or Maguire would have done it pretty easy. But you could have had just a random-ass Spider-Man, too. Like, we don't... Like, in that instance, I think having Spider-Man with no, like, without taking his mask off would have been really beneficial.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like that, like, and that would have been even easier. Just have like Tom Holland do some voice work. Seriously. Like, how cool would that be?
Oh, yeah, I would have loved that. But no.
Yeah. And then in that case, I think that would have been cool. To kind of have that focus on the villain, but then like, and so show, like, basically make the villain kind of I don't want to say relatable, but like make us understand the villain, and then throw Spider-Man in, make Spider-Man like the bad guy of the movie, where he comes in and just like, no, you don't understand, like that kind of shit. Like, how cool would it be if he's like we go on this whole emotional arc with one of their villains, and then suddenly, like, when he's like in the moment of trying to get his revenge or whatever, like the case may be, where it feels like satisfactory to us for him to like take this revenge, then Spider-Man comes in, completely screws it up, and you're just like, no. Like, that would be such an interesting take.
Yeah, I would.
like, it more just shows off that, like, the villains aren't always wrong.
Yeah.
Like maybe there's some justification to their actions. Like, I think that'd be wildly interesting just to throw in the wrench that is Spidey.
Yeah.
But having, like, a completely disassociated story with no Spider-Man insight whatsoever is crazy.
Yeah, that was such a stupid decision.
Yeah. But we're here to talk about Tron Ares, not freaking Spider or Sony's decisions with Spider-Man villains.
I will say one of the biggest things I really appreciate about this story is they definitely tried something new with Tron. That's one of the biggest things I enjoy about this franchise. Each movie tries something different. Like, you're not like, you know, the first one, you know, like, I know a lot of people laugh at the graphics nowadays, but like, freaking back then, those were revolutionary. And so Tron Legacy, like, kind of did the same thing. Like, it mostly stuck to the grid. We're for the most part of the movie, we are in the grid. And so I think that was a good decision, because, you know, with how much we've evolved with technology, you definitely want to showcase, like, how good it could look in there. And then I love in this movie, we do see the grid. We do see a good amount of that, but we actually see it taken to the real world. That was some of the coolest shit I've seen in a good long while. Seeing those light cycles race around New York City or wherever the hell they were, that was badass.
Oh yeah, dude, seeing the light trails interact with the real world, nuts.
Dude, freaking when that one splits that police car in half, I know we saw it in the trailer, but still seeing that on the big screen, whew, that was awesome.
Yeah, I really liked the drones that encircled, what was her name, Eve?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that circled Eve, and then how she was trying to, like, get out, but, like, couldn't climb on it because it was, like, too steep or whatever. Like, that shit was crazy.
Yeah.
And then the way that, like, when they got destroyed and then they started, like, disappearing and everything, like, that looked so cool.
It did, yeah, it did.
But yeah, they had so much shit like that. That was awesome. Like the light trails on the, like, the staffs.
Oh yeah.
How, like, when I forget what it's called. Like an arbiter or something. That's probably not what it was called. I think that's from Halo. But like when all the freaking the drones drop out of that ship and just start spreading across everywhere, like, that looked awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, the light cycle was sick. Like, I loved seeing the light cycles. This gave me everything that I wanted from Tron Legacy. It's like, I just want more Tron. And
oh yeah,
this gave it to us, like, in plentiful supply.
Yeah, give me a good light cycle chase and a couple of fights throwing your was it light? I don't know, the light disc. I don't think that's the right word. Their disc, whatever.
Yeah, it's like their identity discs.
Yeah, have a couple people fighting with those. I'm sold with your Tron movie. You've already pleased me.
Yeah, it's so good. It is so good. And like I said, the story, it's simplistic, but I think it's well executed. Like,
yeah, I would agree.
They build up the hype of, like, the stakes. They build up the stakes really well. Because, like, it's like once Ares turns against, like, his creator, and he's just like, okay, like, you have, like, it gives you a timeline, like, they have to accomplish this goal in 30 minutes or they're shit out of luck. And then, like, and then being able to execute that was amazing.
Yeah,
like, it's because it gets down to the freaking wire, and, like, all the things that they do, like, they're down to, like, the last seconds. And Ares is ready to do the sacrificial play to defeat Athena, but that, like, and you feel it, you're just like, oh man, like, I wonder how they're going to, and then he gets blasted with the plasma cannon or whatever the thing that, like, sucks him into the Kevin Flynn or Flynn's computer, and then you're just like, oh shit, and then, like, you have a whole new problem. Like, the stakes were constantly keeping you on your toes.
Yep.
And I thought that made for a very interesting story. Like, this is one that I'm like, it didn't quite crack into the 90s, but I'm like at an 88 with it. Like, I loved this story. Like, I love that how, like, it was easy to follow. It's been a while since I've watched Tron Legacy. I feel like that gets a little convoluted. But yeah, so I mean, I liked the story in Tron Legacy, but I think this did it better. It simplified what it was, upped the stakes to, like, the nth degree. It was damn near perfect in its execution.
Fair. No, I'm a little lower than you. I'm at an 82 for story. I do think when it comes to telling a story of Tron, me personally, I think Legacy did it a little better. I know we're not supposed to, you know, compare, but just, like, the story in Legacy I vibed more with, but not detracting from this story, because I agree with everything that Caleb said. Like, the way that they pulled this off, you know, bring the grid to the real world, the story keeping you on your toes, because you think one thing is going to happen, and then all of a sudden, plot twist, and here we go into a into something new. I really appreciated that. Overall, it's a very solid Tron story. And I feel for how difficult I feel Tron is to, like, tell a compelling story. I think that this movie did a really good job with it. I feel like all three of the Tron movies have. And I think that that's something that shouldn't be overlooked, because the whole idea of Tron is, like, just so out there, I feel. And the fact that we've had, like, three movies that, like, their stories are actually, like, pretty solid. Maybe the first one, like, not as solid as these two.
The first one, I think the problem with the first one is it suffers from the problem that most older movies have, and it's that it's old.
Yeah, that is fair.
And it's like they included a lot of shit that was, there's a lot of fluff. Like, they could have trimmed down that movie significantly. And true. I think that's the problem. Like, if you cut the fluff, Tron is a great movie, but yeah, there's so much fluff in it.
Yeah.
That it distracts from, like, what it could have been.
No.
But I think with, like, a modern day cut or a modern day edit, I think that has the potential to be a great re-release.
If only Disney had the confidence.
Or the freaking balls.
Yeah. Unfortunately, after this one, I don't think that we'll be seeing anything Tron for quite a while.
Yeah, I think it'll be a hot minute.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because, I mean, they have, like, Disney, I think Disney sees the potential in Tron, because
I do too. Because, like, I mean, freaking, like, look at that new ride that they just came out with.
Yeah, that ride looks sick.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they know what they have, but it just, something keeps getting in the way.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think this time it was Jared Leto.
Yeah.
So, like, but he was great in this role. And I think people just saw Jared Leto and they're like, oh, I'm not getting involved in that, whatever this is.
Because I even saw fans that were like, they were pretty decent fans of Tron, and they're like, oh yeah, new Tron movie. See Jared Leto's text attached. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, bullshit. Like, I've told this to multiple people that are just like I was talking to a buddy at work about, like, the new Witcher, the new season of Witcher.
Yeah.
and how they recast Henry Cavill with Liam Hemsworth. And he was just like, he was so unwilling to watch the new season. He's just like, oh, I'm not even going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it. And I was like, okay, why? Like, was season three bad? No, season three was good. Okay, so why wouldn't you watch season four? Well, because they recast Henry Cavill. Okay, so you're not even going to give this new guy a chance? Well, no, I've never seen him in anything good. Well, what if he's good in this? And then it's just like, well, no, like just refusing to give him even a shot. And I told him, I was just like, I have no problem with the recasting. Is it funky? Yeah. Like it's weird to kind of recast like a main character like that. Like I think you could have done like a complete rewrite. Like it basically created a different Witcher or whatever, but like whatever. But to not even give the new guy a shot to prove himself. I'm like, can't you just watch it to enjoy the material? Like you have to watch it or you refuse to watch it because of an act or a casting decision, something that you have enjoyed up until this point. Like, and he said, I play the games. They're deviating from the video game or the book story or whatever. And Henry Cavill decided not to be part of it because they're deviating too far from the story. Okay. Then how far did they deviate from season three? Well, they deviated this. Okay. Were those bad changes? Well, no. And I'm like, okay. So the storytellers had an idea in mind. Their lead didn't like it and chose to basically like part from the project. They still had a story to tell, so they filled his role with someone that would help them fulfill that story. But you're refusing to watch it because of that recasting. It's silly. I've enjoyed this story up till this point, but a recasting is going to like change it. It's like, no, let the directors, like if the directors tell a shitty story, like that's on them.
Yeah.
But you not even giving this like a new casting a chance or giving an actor a chance to prove themselves. Like, yeah, has Liam Hemsworth been in anything that I would define as groundbreaking? No. But you could still give him the opportunity to do that. Like, he could blow you away. You might like him better, but you'll never know because you're not willing to give him the chance. And it's the same deal with Jared Leto. And it's just like, I don't think people are willing to give Jared Leto the chance just because he's been in bad projects.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd be defending Jared Leto this episode, but
here we are. I'm sorry, though. I'll tell you one role that I can't defend him on because I just think he's going to be horribly miscast in it. Him cast as Skeletor in the Masters of the Universe.
Listen. I think he's crazy enough to do it.
Yeah.
I hope I'm proven wrong.
I really do.
Skeletor is a crazy character. I want to see him do a good job with Skeletor. And I think he can. I think his, oh man, I might regret saying this. I think him bringing in his Joker energy could make Skeletor great.
All right. Fair enough.
It didn't work for Joker. I think he needs to up the crazy just a bit, throw in some of that Joker swag. I think you got it. Here's the thing. You cannot do anything other than the skull with Skeletor.
Yeah,
you can't. If you do, like, I horrible failure.
True that.
Like, I want them to do, but like, and this is my frame of reference too. His portrayal of the box head ghost, or the hat, the box hat ghost in Haunted Mansion.
I forgot that he was in that movie.
Yeah. Kind of great.
Fair enough. I do remember it being pretty solid.
So if they could pull that off, I think they could pull Skeletor off. But Skeletor has to be like at a good portion CG, or at least just the skull. That would make the movie for me. If they could just like skull, like basically do like a practical suit and just do a skeletal, like just replace his face, like basically pull a Nicolas Cage with Ghost Rider. Like I could be down for that. I'm looking forward to see what they do. Have they released anything with that movie?
No.
Like, I know they've done posters and like little teasers and stuff, but
yeah, that's it. There hasn't been any teasers. When's that movie supposed to
come
out?
Does it come out this or in 26?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'm excited for that one.
I never watched the show or anything like that, so like, I'm sorry to say, like, I in a way could care less. But like, if you want to break it down and watch it, I'll go watch it.
I've watched bits and pieces of He-Man, mostly just like little clips and stuff, and I think it is delightfully cheesy.
All right.
It's kind of like G.I. Joe. Like, it is in that same vein. Like, it's like Thundercats, then He-Man, G.I. Joe. I view all of those in like kind of the same vein.
Yeah.
Where it's just like like I said, wonderfully cheesy. And I'm excited for it. Because it's like I've tried going back and watching the show, and it's a little on the boring side, but I think it's because I don't have the nostalgia for it.
Yeah,
because it wasn't something I ever like grew up on.
Yeah,
but I do love like little bits of it. Like I love, like I used to do this all the time. Like I don't even know, like when I'd see like clips of it on like Boomerang or whatever, where He-Man like grabs his sword and it goes, "I have the power." Like I did that all the time. Anytime I had like fake swords, like I would do the He-Man, like the "I have the power," or like just random shit like that. Funny enough, and fun fact, before I make a fool of myself. Okay. Yeah. So I feel comfortable enough saying this. My wife Brielle, she actually got her name from He-Man.
Really?
Yeah. So there is a character in there that I thought was more like related to He-Man, but I guess not. But there's a character in there named Dree-El.
Huh.
And yeah. So, and I think her, yeah. And then her mom turned it into like Brielle.
That's cool.
Right.
That's awesome.
At least I think I'd have to ask her again, like where she got that. But I do remember her saying that it was somewhat related to He-Man.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
I'll ask her again. But that, as far as I'm aware, like I do recall her mentioning something like that. So yeah, I might ask her.
Okay.
Anyway, writing.
I thought this was pretty solid. I think this one especially does a really good job at explaining like everything that's going on, like why the grid is what it is, like what Dillinger has done with it, why these two companies are at each other's throats. I will give this one a one up over Legacy. I do think that the writing does a better job at not spoon feeding it to you. Like they're not trying to make you feel stupid for like having to simplify it so much. It doesn't get to that point, but it does such a good job at making sure you understand why these characters' motives are what they are, why the grid is what it is, stuff like that. So I do appreciate this movie a lot for that.
Yeah, this is definitely a good movie if you wanted to start. Like, I think that this movie could spark an interest in Tron.
Absolutely.
Because it does do a really good job at not, like what you said, not spoon speeding it. Spoon feeding it to you.
Spoon speeding, huh?
Yeah, spoon speeding. It does. It explains everything very well, very easy terms. Like, this is a good entry movie. Yes. To the Tron franchise, and then you could just be like, holy shit, like that was so cool.
Yeah,
like what now happened to the other ones?
Yeah, I want to know who this Kevin Flynn is really, and who's his son. And so I mean, honestly, you literally could just do 3-2-1 if you wanted to.
Yeah, and like, I think it works really, like it works well, because you could go back into the other movies, and it's like it has enough teases towards it where you're just like, oh wow, like check out this, like who's this, like the son of Kevin Flynn and whatnot. And then you go back and watch that. Oh, that's super cool. Blah, 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 blah. And then you go and watch the first one, and then you're just like, oh my gosh, that's like that's where Ares went into, like when he entered the grid, or like the old timey grid, like that, oh, that's crazy. Like, it's cool. Like, it's cool that they can do stuff like that.
Absolutely.
I will say, like, I think this one I'm a little bit lower on with story. Just because I don't like where the story, yes, it was simple, but like really well executed. The writing, it was really well done. I don't think it blew me away in any significant way. So I mean, I actually might be 84 with writing.
That's right. For me, I honestly think that the writing and the story are on the exact same level for me. So I'm gonna go another 82.
All right. Moving on over to acting. First up, we got the man himself, Jared Leto, who plays Ares. We got Greta Lee, who plays Eve Kim. We have Jodie Turner Smith, who plays Athena. We have Evan Peters, who plays Julian Dillinger. Jeff Bridges, who plays Kevin Flynn. Gillian Anderson, who plays Elizabeth Dillinger. Hassan Minhaj, who plays AJ Singh. And then we have Arturo Castro, who plays Seth Flores. All right. What's your top three look like?
So number one, I'm giving to Evan Peters. I thought he was a great villain. I mean, he's incredible in everything that he does.
Unhinged, like you wouldn't believe,
dude, like seriously.
And I absolutely agree with you on this. He's my number one as well.
Hell yeah. He's really good at playing a villain. I mean, I know, of course, he played, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer in the Monster series. I really wonder if you know, him playing that, you know, horrible person, if he took anything that worked with him for that, if he brought that into this character at all and just showcasing how evil this guy could be. But yeah, no, Evan Peters, amazing as always.
Yeah. I really liked about his character is how understandable his crash out was.
Yeah.
Because where he was just like, I need to find the permanence code, doing anything that he could to get it, even going in, like basically trying to go in the back door to try and get it. When that didn't work, and then she destroyed the evidence, and they're just like, oh yeah, well, like we could just download her and basically take it from her. And he's like, do it. But then when he realized that it would kill her, and you could see him like, oh shit. And then they're just like, would there be any trace? Like, would anyone know? And then they're like, no. And he's just like for someone that's like, that's so business oriented like that, you could understand like the temptation for it.
Yeah.
And then when he's just like, okay, do it. Like, I think he struggles with that for a minute. And then when it's like, she escapes and he's just like, what the hell? Like that, I think that's the shit that gets him where he, and then it's just like, oh shit. Like if she gets out and tells everyone, like I'm done for. And so, yeah, him trying to be like, by whatever means necessary, like, kill her, like that, completely understandable.
Yeah,
like it's not right by any means, but I think like it's understandable why he had the major freak out that he did.
Yeah, definitely.
And he portrayed that so well, just that oh shit, like I'm gonna get caught moment.
Yeah,
was amazing.
No, definitely.
So who's your number two?
Number two, I'd give to the actress that played Eve, Kim, right?
Ah, me too.
Yeah, Greta Lee. Yeah, she did a great job here. I especially loved her whole storyline with how after her sister died, you know, she took over the business. But then we find out like the cracks between that, like as the movie goes on. So you find out like what her relationship was like with her sister. Because wasn't it like her, like, their parents like always saw her sister as like the like one that was gonna be the most successful, like, and Eve kind of got,
I don't know, I think she like, I think they were both like pretty like that, like from what I remember they were both like fairly successful.
Okay.
And they worked to like pretty closely together, but she began to separate herself once her sister got sick.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
And so finding the permanence code was her attempt to basically like complete her sister's work.
Yes.
And then she could like kind of set it aside and part from the company.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah, no, she was really good. Enjoyed her character a lot, and her story was pretty solid, and she did a really good job.
Yeah, she did really good. Like her, one of my favorite scene of hers was really early on. It's when she knocked Athena off of the light bike.
Oh yeah.
And then she's just like looks over the edge, and Athena's like laying sprawled out on the concrete, and she's like, okay, tries to pick up the bike, and then like starts like hears movement or whatever, goes and looks again, and she's like running up the freaking that was so freaking scary.
Yeah, that was insane.
And oh my gosh, how close she got. Insane.
Seriously.
Insane. That was crazy. Like, yeah. He scared the shit out of me, dude. Like, oh man, it's just like, run, bitch, run.
For real.
But yeah, she's again number two for me as well.
Hell yeah. Number three. I think we are gonna be different on this one, because number three I would give to who was the last one on the list?
Arturo Castro.
Yeah, I loved his character, his energy, Seth Flores. He definitely brought the comedic side to this movie, and I loved him for it. It was entertaining watching him work with Eve, and just yeah. So he was my number three. Really loved his energy.
I really liked it too. I'm actually giving my number three to Gillian Anderson.
Ooh, okay.
I thought her role as Julian Dillinger's mother was so incredible. Like she is an amazing actress, and just like the they had such good chemistry as mother son. And her, I don't know, it's just her like almost disdain for him and like his actions was so like evident, and she played it off so well. And so when she was finally like, I'm shutting this shit down, and Athena comes and bushwhacks her, like it was heartbreaking. Like it was crazy. It's just like, oh man, like you saw it coming from a mile away, but it still freaking hits you where it hurts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved her. Close number four though would be Jared Leto.
I would agree. It's really sad that he's not even in our top three.
I know, and the movie's basically about him.
Yeah.
And honestly, it would be a coin flip number four with Jodie Turner Smith.
Oh, dude. Absolutely.
Like that's, I think that's the part that's like more messed up, because she was the most intimidating person I've seen ever.
Like, yeah, she was amazing.
She was so scary. Freaking wild. Absolutely wild. And I freaking loved her.
Yeah, she was so good.
All right, where are you sitting with your acting score?
Just because of like the solid performances, I think I will be just like slightly higher than my story and writing. So I think I'd give acting an 84.
I'm actually just 1 point below you at 83.
Oh yeah.
All right, next up we got character development, which I think this could be done on Ares.
I would say so. You know, seeing him go through with literally just being a program, and then watching him like become sentient and realizing that he wants to get out of the grid and actually become a human and have feeling, you know, all that jazz. I feel for the most part, like it's pretty decent character development. I mean, you know, like it's a pretty like simple character development. I feel like, oh, this character starts out as a computer program, starts to realize what they were programmed to do is not the right thing, and then progresses into like actually realizing what's right, what's wrong, and comes to the conclusion that they want to be sentient, they want to be human, whatever, and they're able to have that wish granted by the end.
Yeah, I think the montage that they went through kind of explaining Ares' origins and how he came to be really helped with like how he's just like constantly in a state of learning. And so when he is brought into the real world for the first time and experiences Rain, and then when he goes back to Athena and talks about what it felt like, it really opened the door for this like development. I think it was pretty early on. And I think that there could have been a little bit more struggle with him accepting, like he was already like 100% on board with being human.
Yeah, I guess. I'm thinking, and had a little bit more of a struggle.
Yeah, like I think him denying or rejecting his programming should have taken a bit longer than it did. Like him will like wanting to help and like may like go with Eve to discover permanence, and it having it be more like I want to be able to experience the real world for longer than 30 minutes. Like I can't fully I can't fully experience what the real world has to offer in 30 minutes. And so him seeking that out, seeking the permanence code, and then like Eve trying to keep it from him, because if he gets his hands on it, then Dillinger has his hands, would have made more sense.
Yeah.
And then him like eventually him basically turning completely, I think he should have gotten the permanence code and then turn against Julian. Like, I think that's how, like, the order of operations. Like, I think it should have been later in the movie that he kind of turned against, and then Athena gets sent after him to retrieve the permanence code.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, it was, I'd say, like, fairly average. So I'd be giving it, like, a 75. I don't think it was anything too spectacular.
It wasn't. I think I'll go a point higher than you at 76.
All right, moving on over to effects. So good.
Dude, freaking, even if you hate the story, the characters of any of these movies, you cannot deny the effects in any Tron movie, even if we're looking at the original, are cool as hell.
So sick. So ridiculously sick.
Yeah. Just absolutely awesome. And I love that, like, with Tron Legacy, they mostly focused on, you know, blue, that being like the what we really saw the characters in for the most part. And then this one, they focused on the red. And I just loved that variance. That was super, super cool. We still saw some blue characters in the grid, but for the most part, we're focusing on the red. And so badass.
So sick. And when he shifts from like from his red lights to like, it was more white than anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he shifts to the white light, I'm like, oh,
so cool.
Sick.
Awesome.
Like they did like the way that they're able to play with light in these movies is so well done. It's fascinating to look at, and their designs for everything are incredible.
Yeah.
Like it's so good. Like this is one I'm really freaking high in effects, because I thought the action was good. It was wildly intense. The different, like the light cycles, the planes, the little personal glider shit. So cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like they took everything that I liked about Tron and just upped it, and it looked incredible. Like there anything that like, and oh my gosh, my favorite freaking scene is the way that they recreated the OG Tron.
Oh dude, they did such a great job with that.
I know, I haven't even seen Tron, like the OG Tron, in years.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it since I first I watched it before Tron Legacy came out. It was the last time I watched it.
Yeah, that's when I watched it too.
Oh yeah.
And it hit me with nostalgia so ridiculously hard. I'm like, no freaking way. Like, this is ridiculous.
No, it was awesome.
Like, oh my gosh, like everything about it, dude. Like they even did like the where they were like in black and white. Like the skin was in black and white, but the suit was in like in color.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah, so such good. Great attention to detail.
Amazing attention. And I loved every single second of that.
Same here.
I was like, this hits in a great way. So I'm probably at like 97, honestly. Okay. Like I'm up there.
I'm just slightly below you at a 96.
All right, moving on over to music.
I feel this was pretty good. I don't think it's as good as Tron Legacy soundtrack because that one was done by Daft Punk.
Yeah.
But still, like for a Tron movie, pretty solid soundtrack, I'd say.
It was.
So, like, because I'd probably be at like an eight or nine for Tron Legacy, probably an eight. So, like, for this one, I'd be at a seven.
I would probably go. Yeah, I'd probably be at seven as well.
Hell yeah.
I have to rewatch Legacy. I haven't seen that one in a hot minute.
Yeah.
Just to know where. Because I remember being like, I'd probably, I don't know. I think with this one, I'd be more like a 7.5.
There.
But yeah, anyway. Yeah, I'm just trying to think that I don't think that there was anything that was like ultra memorable about the soundtrack. Like it was good, it fit the tone, and I think that they used the soundtracks well, like when they were doing things like the chase scenes, and like the soundtrack was what it needed to be.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on over to costumes.
These are pretty solid as well. I mean, not the like human, like, you know, ignoring the human costumes because, you know, like that's just, you know, everyday clothes. But freaking,
I don't know. Eve's was pretty cool. Like her.
Okay,
her
I'll give you hers.
Her blue leather jacket was pretty sick.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Like, was it iconic? No, like I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But it was pretty slick. And then seeing her in her the user like Tron outfit was pretty cool too.
Yeah, that was. I love that like his was like the full on helmet, whereas the other ones just had like the visor kind of helmets. So you could definitely tell he was the most important one. But just like they freaking like took the costumes from Tron Legacy and just freaking dialed them up to 10 in this one. And they looked so, so good.
Oh yeah. Also the triangular discs or,
Whatever
you want to call them, sick.
Yeah, dude, so, so sick.
Like I loved when they were doing the when they were trying to break down the firewall of like what was it, Epcon or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, basically Eve's company. Like I loved the fight that they were having where they were throwing the triangular or where Ares was throwing the triangular disc. Like it was slick.
Yeah, that was awesome. Was
so good. This is one I'd probably be at like an 8 with it. I don't know if it quite cracks 9 for me. But
I absolutely agree.
All right, last up, we got personal score.
Who do you want to take this one?
Up to you.
I want to hear yours because I think I'm probably going to be lower than you.
Oh, probably. I just getting into it. I'm at a 90.
Shit, okay.
I really like this movie. Like, I like this so much. It is one that I cannot wait for it to come to Disney Plus so I can rewatch it again. Because I want to do a Tron marathon. with this. Like, I want to watch the OG, I want to watch Legacy, and then I want to watch Ares. Just because that is how much I freaking enjoyed this movie. Of the three, I think I might like Ares more than Legacy.
Wow. Okay.
And I really like Legacy.
Damn. All right.
Like, I think my personal score for Legacy would probably be like 88, 89. So it's close. Yeah. Like, it's close for me, but I think I like this one just a hint more.
Okay. Wow. Damn. Okay. Wow. Well, then I'm gonna be the asshole in this situation. I'm going an 80 for my personal score.
Damn.
I'm sorry, man. Because like with Tron Legacy, that one's still my favorite out of all Tron movies, and I'd probably be at like an 84, 85 with that one. So like, I do feel like, don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed this one. I think this is a solid Tron movie, but like ranking wise, I can't even like rank the first one because I haven't seen it in so long. So like, just out of these two, Tron Legacy is my favorite, and then comes Tron Ares. But it's still a solid Tron movie. The effects are just out of this world, like usual. The characters are pretty solid. The story's pretty solid. But just was a step down a little bit for me from Tron Legacy. So personal score is an 80.
Okay. All right, going through these scores real quick. So starting off with story, we ended up averaging out at an 85. The writing is a couple points below, sitting at an 83. Acting got a half point bump from there, sitting at an 83.5. Character development is our lowest category, sitting at a 75.5. The effects are our highest category, sitting at a 96.5. The music is sitting at a 7 out of 10. The costumes are sitting at an 8 out of 10. And then our personal score averaged out to an 85. So with that, the All Bros letter grade for Tron Ares has come out to a B.
All right. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Let's see. Okay, it's a pretty, it's an in the middle B.
All right.
It is sitting at an 84.18%.
Not bad.
Yeah, so that puts it, you want to go above or below first?
It's here above.
Okay, so it is above A Christmas Story Christmas.
Okay. I forget how, but like on my feed, stuff with A Christmas Story keeps popping up. And so I really want to go back and watch that because I remember that being a pretty solid Legacy sequel and doesn't get enough love.
Yeah. Let's see. It's above Free Guy.
Okay.
Here's one that I will purse. This one's a tough one. It's sitting above Megan 2.0.
Ooh. Damn.
Yeah, and I really liked Megan
2.0. Yeah, Megan 2.0 was a solid sequel.
Yeah, it's above Thor Ragnarok.
Really? Damn, okay.
Yeah. And then it is above Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay.
Going what it's below, it is sitting below Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
It is below Blue Beetle.
Okay, how did neither of us think to say that for
Blue Beetle?
Yeah. What the hell's wrong with us?
Yeah, I freaking had a couple others like after the fact. I was like, ah, man. Yeah, so we got Blue Beetle. Then it's below Avengers Age of Ultron.
Fair.
Ooh, it's below Joker Folie à Deux.
I'm personally okay with that. I know you're not.
Yeah, and then finally, it is below Prey.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah, and I can definitely agree to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where it's sitting.
All right, not bad. Not bad ranking.
Yeah, I think it's got a pretty decent home.
I do too. All right, well, I think that concludes this episode. So if you guys want to check out any of our other stuff, any other episodes that we've done, you can find us damn near everywhere. I feel most people go to Spotify. So we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that fun stuff. If you want to check out our social media, we're on X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Just search at the All Bros. You can email us at the All Bros channel at gmail.com. If you want to check out our website, tinyurl.com/user/the All Bros. I always mess up if it's just the All Bros or the All Bros channel. Can you remember which one it is for our website?
For our website, it's tinyurl.com/CLBros.
Okay, so there's no channel. Okay.
No channel. That's just
okay, thank you. Okay, that's good to know. And then if you want to check out our merch store, you can do so at tpublic.com/user/TheAllBros. Next week on the podcast, Caleb, I was thinking, have you seen that movie F1, that Brad Pitt racing movie?
No.
So I just got that in the mail because Groove was doing a really good deal on some 4K movies. So I picked that up. So do you want to do that next week?
You can.
Okay. All right. Well, then next week will be F1 starring Brad Pitt. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we will catch you guys next week. See ya.
Deuces.